Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you for hanging around with us. It's my pleasure to be part of your day, and I know it's like a dream come true for you, isn't it? And I'm excited about having our good buddy Doug Stiles back on the show. Doug's the resident CPA of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust, and he's also, more importantly, and the thing he's the happiest about is he's senior partner with the Kirchen Group. I think that's the – is that the current name, Doug?
Yeah, we change every once in a while to keep the people out of the office with the guns.
The Kirchen Group, and he also is a professor of accounting at Monmouth University, right, Doug?
Yes.
I'm assuming it's okay. That's not too far. That's not. It's not like you're a gorilla professor. You're out in the open, right?
Oh, I'll let you decide. But that's my new excitement, and it is a lot of fun.
I bet it is, and I want to hear more about that. I'll tell you what. Let's talk about that for just a minute. What are you finding with the young people that you're meeting with? Now you're teaching, you got these little babies, right? These 18, 19, 20 year olds, that kind of thing.
I have the whole spectrum, Jim. I've got two groups of sophomores that are taking their first course in accounting. That's required if they want to get out of business school. Some of whom will choose accounting as their major and eventually their profession. Then I have a group of seniors that I'm teaching tax law. And then I have a graduate group that I'm working on tax law with them. And so I've got the whole spectrum, and it's interesting.
So what are you finding? How are these young sponges that you're talking to, what's your opinion about them?
Well, I think it's great. The whole reason I'm there is because, frankly, I love the kids. I mean, I'm trying to give back some of what I picked up in the profession for almost 40 years and putting it back into the classroom. As you're well aware, there's a tremendous, tremendous shortage of accountants, which makes some people smile, but CPA
that always amazes me because you got all the groupies and everything. How can people not want to be accountants?
One reason is because it's hard. You know, a lot of the sophomores that are in my basic class are struggling. They say, gee, this stuff is hard. I can't understand it. And I'd like to be an accountant because there are lots of jobs out there.
Yep.
And that's the bottom line, Jim, is at least the seniors, most of them already have several job offers. The big firms, the little firms, we're all fighting over these kids. There are just simply not enough of them.
Well, do you feel that the education system has ill-prepared them for what you're teaching them?
No, on the contrary. In fact, just this weekend, I've been grading some papers that I asked them to do, my tax class, and I've been very impressed with how well they write and how they organize their thoughts, and actually are coming up with some very well-supported conclusions in their papers.
What about their ability to perform math?
Well, that's kind of sad, because ever since the invention of the calculator, which you and I predated that, but you ask them, what's 18 times 2, and they have to go get the calculator out. It's really that's a little sad, but it's a reality, and the computer age is going to keep them above that.
Well, I hope so, but God forbid if the power goes out, right?
In more ways than one.
Well, and, you know, they don't know how to make change either.
Nope. You go into the fast food joint, and it just doesn't work. But
if you try to give them something besides what the little cash register said to give them back, I mean, if you try to give them some pennies to keep you from having as much change back, it blows their mind if they've already rung it up.
Forget it. I've had them give me $1.41 in change. I mean, you know, it's over. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So your opinion is you're really kind of positive about the young generations.
Very much so. Very much so. If you came and spent just an hour in one of my classrooms, I think you'd be impressed. And the school where I am is—it's not Harvard or Dartmouth, Jim. It's just a good middle class.
I've heard of Monmouth University.
You really have.
I have.
Yeah. Well,
I get around. You know, I'm pretty.
Well, I know that. I know that they let you out of Alabama. What is it?
Every once in a while. But no, I've heard of your university. How many students?
We have about 4,000.
Yeah, that's a pretty nice little. Was it Division II, Division III?
Division II, and we're growing. Our athletics are doing beautifully. I'm proud to tell you about that.
Why is there such a demand for accounting students? graduates, I should say.
The continued complexity of the tax law is the one that I like to talk about, which is why we're here this morning, but also Sarbanes-Oxley, which is making the audit parts of our industry just to work beyond belief in the amount of complexity that they've taken on. And frankly, and some people would disagree with this here, Jim, but the booming economy.
Well, exactly. And you know what else, Doug? I'm going to tell you, if I had a young person who wanted to become a business owner, I would tell them to get as much accounting in college as they could, because it'll never do them wrong when they're in a business. In fact, I've interviewed a lot of CEOs of corporations of all sizes. Many of them had accounting, maybe even CPA backgrounds.
It's difficult to get where they are if they don't have it, Jim. I always advertise that accounting is the language of business.
No, there's no question about it. And here we thought it was English. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. It's almost 22. I'm Jim Blassingame. When we come back, we're going to get Doug to talk to us about some of the tax issues that you and I need to know about to be more successful in our small businesses. Welcome back. It's 17 till, actually. One extra 10 minutes in there. It's 43 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Don't forget to check out our blog and the archives and the articles. Lots of stuff there and more to come. Wait, just hold on, folks. Just stay where you are for just a little bit longer. We got some new stuff that we're going to be announcing to you real soon that I think you're going to enjoy and benefit from. Doug Stives is our guest. He's the resident CPA of the Brain Trust. Doug, what are some of the tax issues that we need to be paying attention to right now?
Well, year end is coming, and it's been an exciting year because most people have made money in the stock market. So now let me excuse some people right up front. If you've made a bunch of money in your pension plan, that's just great. That doesn't cost you any money. I think most people know that. The profit in a pension plan just stays there. But notably, in our list of clients, Jim, we have a group of people who invest most of their investment money in mutual funds. And I think some of them are going to be in for maybe a pleasant, but maybe not so pleasant shock when they get their 1099s at the end of the year.
Because they've been buying and selling.
You bet. I mean,
because if you own stocks on your own and you don't sell them and they go up, well, you may be worth more, but you don't have to pay tax on that because it's not a taxable event till you sell it.
That's correct.
But a mutual fund, they buy and sell when they want to, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, the best example I can give you, if you just went into a mutual fund this year, and the mutual fund was sitting on a portfolio that just in the last few months when the market's been so strong, the mutual fund decided to sell some of those stocks while the stock was up. Well, even if you didn't own the mutual fund during the time that the appreciation has occurred, you get stuck paying tax on it.
What?
Yeah.
Now, slow down. And say that again. I missed that part.
Yeah. Let's say that you just, just last week decided to buy $10,000 worth of a particular mutual fund. And then next week, that mutual fund sells some of the stock that they've owned.
Get their basis?
Yeah, you get their. You're stuck with their basis. Now, understand that increases your basis, so it really is only a timing difference.
Yeah.
But the point is there'll be some people that are going to get stuck paying a bunch of tax.
It's almost like phantom income. It's not phantom in that you could sell it. There is a market for those stocks. But in terms of the fact that you may not want to sell, it becomes phantom income, doesn't it?
Right. Now, it does increase your basis. It's only a timing difference. But the point we try to suggest is that people go out and find out what this might be. Maybe contact the mutual fund, send them an email, call them up, say, look, I'm doing some year-end planning. What am I looking at here? Because we do, of course, have another 5 weeks left to take some losses. So if you're in a position that maybe is down a little bit, well, even if you sell it and wait 30 days and buy it back, you can save yourself some tax when you do your tax return next spring.
That's good information. I guess I didn't realize how that part of a mutual fund worked. What else?
Except the good news is that for right now, and at least until Congress changes its mind, we still have a maximum 15% capital gain rate.
Do you think that'll change? Do you think the new Congress will change that?
I do.
They just can't stand it, can they? The Democrats, they can't stand the idea that we might actually not be paying a boatload of taxes for investments.
That's part of it, and also they're looking for ways to raise revenue. And
so they can spend more money, even though they're already spending too much.
What side are you on here, liberal?
Well, I'm on the side of keeping my money so I can invest it in my small business. That's the party I belong to.
Well, the party line in Washington doesn't really support that right now, does it?
Yeah, yeah.
That's part of the problem. The government's going to make everything better, and I know some people believe that, but I guess you and I don't, Jeff.
I don't drink that Kool-Aid myself, Doug.
But the reality is I don't think we're going to have any more tax breaks, and to raise the tax rates, at least at the lower end, is not popular, but to take little goodies away, like the 15% capital gain rate, mm-hmm. I think we'll build up some momentum. I think the days of that are numbers.
What part of most Americans are in the stock market today that are not in the stock market? What part of that do the Democrats not get?
Well, remember, the whole reason for the 15% tax rate was to encourage people to go into the stock market.
Yeah.
But then again, as a planner, I have to argue in the other direction and say if a family's gross income is $50,000 or $60,000 a year and their net worth is maybe less than a couple hundred thousand dollars, they really probably shouldn't be in the stock market.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You're right about that. All right, what else?
Well, the other thing they've done is that the Pension Act that was passed a couple of months ago put something kind of neat in there. Now, this only applies to people that are over 70 and a half years old who are in the payout portion of their retirement plans. If they want to, they can have the retirement plan make charitable contributions directly. In other words, if you're thinking about giving $1,000 to your church at Christmas time, mm-hmm. and you have money in an IRA or a pension plan, you're taking money out, you can contact that retirement plan and ask them to make that $1,000 contribution directly.
Hey!
Particularly advantageous to retired folks who do not itemize their deductions.
So there's no income on the transaction, if that's there's no tax on that transaction.
It's just a straight push.
Mm-hmm. Of course, either way, there would be no taxes because you'd get the deduction, but there might be a penalty.
No, it wouldn't be a penalty if you take the money out of the retirement plan.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but by definition, these are people that are at least 70 and a half years old.
Mm-hmm.
So they're over the limit where they would be penalized.
Right.
You can't do it for younger people. But I'd say the big advantage is retired people who don't normally itemize their personal deductions, or maybe they do because they've been making charitable deductions. This would be a good plan to, instead of breaking your check out from your own checkbook, have your pension plan pay your charitable contributions.
Mm-hmm.
The plan has to be set up to do that, which some plans need to be revamped to allow for this provision.
What is the Section 179 max for direct expensing this year?
For this year is $108,000.
And next year?
Haven't announced it yet.
Oh, it's so they're going to they want that to be a surprise for us, don't they?
Somewhere in the 110
folks,
or 112.
Folks, 6 years ago it was about 25,000, and well, actually 10 years ago it was zero.
That's
now
right.
It's 108,000. It's a good thing, Section 179. Quick break. Tintail. We'll be right back with Doug's Dive. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend, Doug Stives, certified public accountant and the senior partner with Kirchen Group out of beautiful downtown Red Bank, New Jersey. And that's Kirchen. What's the website again?
Kirchen.com.
Kirchen.com. C-U-R-C-H-I-N.com.
Jim, I'll tell you something. I wish we could get the people that do the ads for Aflac that we just listened to to do some ads for Kirchen. Because look what they've done. They've
taken
insurance, which is a terribly, terribly dull product, and they're making us laugh.
I know. I think counters should. Well, look, if you guys would start wearing red ties instead of gray ties all the time, I think that would help a little bit.
Okay.
But you're a snappy dresser. I've seen you all dressed up on television. You're a snappy dresser, but you know, CPAs need to quit wearing gray ties and gray suits.
Well, most of them don't wear suits anymore, which is part of the problem.
Hey, Doug, let's get back into some of the tax planning. What do we need to pay attention to this year, and what do we need to get ready for next year?
Well, let's jump ahead to next year, because the point I want to make, we were talking about charitable contributions before the break. Another little bill that slipped by earlier this year out of Congress is tightening up what you can do with your charitable contributions with the cash and the used clothing and things like that. Some people out there know what I'm talking about when I say the only place where you can use any creativity on a simple tax return is in charitable contributions. I mean, think of your itemized deductions. Your real estate taxes are just that. Your mortgage interest is a fixed number. You can't invent kids anymore, as some people used to do, because you have to have a Social Security number for
them. Right.
So the only thing left on the simple non-business return, Jim, is charitable contributions, and they finally zeroed in on that. They're telling us for 2007 now, not this year, but starting January 1st, if you give away, say, used clothing or household furnishings or whatever, you not only have to have a receipt, you have to get a certification that this stuff is in good or better
condition. Actually valuable.
And I'm not sure what good or better condition.
And who knows how to, and who can do that, and who's, you know, who at the church or whatever is willing to put their name on something like that.
Well, then let's go to the church thing. As they're saying, starting in 2007 for cash contributions, even the $10 you drop in the plate when it's passed around at church, you're going to need a receipt. And there are not too many accounts.
That's going to hold up. That's going to hold up church a little bit.
Well, we've been saying that. You know, on the way out, you'll have to wait in line, get a receipt, which is preposterous. But this is what Congress passed a couple of months ago, and it's going to change the whole mood of charitable contributions. And frankly, when we sit down to do folks' 2007 tax returns, we're
But you say it's going to change the mood, but isn't it just really going to try to tighten up on people who take advantage of the system?
That's well said, and I won't go beyond that. You're absolutely
right. Yeah, I mean, you know, let's be honest about this. If you're sincere about giving, you're going to find a way to give the right way.
Well, we tease in our office about the clients who've been coming to us for 30 years, and they wear the same outfit every year, and then they sit there and try to tell us they gave away $2,000 of used clothing.
Yeah.
That game is just simply over.
Well, you know, if I give cash to something, and I do from time to time, quite often actually, and people say, let me give you a receipt. If it's handy, I'll take it. If it's not, I say, you know what, don't worry about it.
Right.
You know, it's not whatever tax I was going to save on that is not the point.
Right. Right.
The point is somebody needed something, I had the cash, and I gave it to them. That's what I was doing it for.
And that's
if all you're doing for charitable folks is for a deduction, then you need to rethink your motives.
I couldn't agree more, and Congress supports that, but they are clamping down more and more.
You're scaring me if me and Congress agree on something. That's scary.
Well, then we'll think of some reason for
that.
Let's
come up with another way of saying that. Hey, Doug, I got about 1 minute. What's the last thoughts?
Well, as year-end approaches, I tell people when they come in to have their taxes done in February and March, there's not much I can do for you at that point. This is the time, November and December. Make those charitable contributions. You know, be a little humble and give some of it away so that you can reduce your taxes. But talk to somebody and make sure you're doing it right and have the right documentation. As we talked about earlier, if you have some capital gains, we'll see if there are any capital losses you can take. If you're in business and you've had a great year, maybe go out and buy some new computers or new furniture or whatever for your office, but you must do that and get the new equipment in service before December 31st.
And you don't have to finance it. I mean, you don't have to pay cash. You can finance it and still get the deduction.
You could even just slap it on a credit card and take a deduction for it.
If you're highly profitable, the Section 179 direct expensing actually could become a cash positive event.
The only holdup on that is, remember, you generally can't do that with vehicles.
Right. Are vehicles off the table now?
No, they're still there. If you buy an SUV,
the big ones,
you can take $25,000 up front.
For the big ones. They've got to be over 6,000 pounds, though, right?
You know all these laws.
You've taught me well, Doug. I pay attention when you come here. Hey, Doug, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time. Doug Stives, ladies and gentlemen. Can't do without him. He's the best. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.